You are listening to KAYT-FM, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1, K255-BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9 FM, K223-BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5 FM, KQJO, St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi, 99.3 FM, and K261EB, Lake Charles, 100.1 FM, and online at www.kaytfm.com, the heart and soul of Central Louisiana.
As we approach the anniversary of the tragic occurrence of September 11th, Familiar Wireless Depot honors the American heroes who have made this country what it is. From those serving in our military to men and women of our police and fire departments, we salute you. That's from Familiar Wireless Depot, with three locations to serve you better. For Monroe, the number is 318-398-2187. For West Monroe, the number is 318-600-6424. At Familiar Wireless Depot, service is a fact based on the importance they place in satisfying their customers. Familiar Wireless Depot is a proud sponsor of KAYTKQJO. The following programs are underwriting sponsors of this station. The views expressed belong to its participants and are not necessarily those of the management and staff of KAYT.
The Lord. Hallelujah. I'm just excited about today. And no matter what happens, I know God's word is going through. He's coming through and he's going to bless you. This is the reason why you have tuned in to Prayer Power, because God wants to bless you. God wants to give you some good news. Not me, all right? Not anybody else. Although he uses people, he uses us to bring his word, to give you the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm excited. I'm really excited because there's some good things that are going to happen. Some good word for you. Man, just stay tuned. I mean, just because you're going to be blessed. Listen to what God has for you. And I want to thank, I got my brothers here, man, that Brother Dubé. I thank you so much, Brother Dubé. You might want to introduce yourself once again. I know you've been with me in the past.
Yes, yes, all the way from Lafayette, Louisiana.
Lafayette, man.
Working the streets, still keeping up with the homeless ministry, doing whatever we can to further the kingdom of God and the gospel.
Amen.
We've even come up here and done one or two little radio stations. We filled in for you.
Yes,
one
indeed.
Time,
yes, and I appreciated that a whole
that
lot.
Was a blessing.
Ooh, it was a blessing to me. And you know, thank God. Yeah, did a wonderful job, and that's what we're here for, to preach the gospel,
amen.
Man.
In
to bring
season
it out,
and out.
In season, out there, it doesn't matter, right?
That's right. Amen.
Praise God. We got Mr. Purnell. Purnell, you might want to introduce yourself.
Amen.
Amen. Well, before we go further, I want to announce something that we have with this revival. It's in Bunky. I want to invite y'all to as well. In Bunky, Louisiana, tomorrow night, of course, it's going to be at 7 o'clock, Victory Church, on 1909 Highway 71, I believe, right around Main Street of Bunky, I believe it is. But you can't miss it, Victory Church. And I'm going to be there along with others, and we're going to preach the gospel, a revival. And I'm just excited about what God's going to do. Praise God. I know he's got something awesome, because when the children of God get together, something's got to happen.
Amen.
You know, it's sort of like a dynamite, just ready to explode, man.
Two or three are gathered.
Woo, glory to God. I get excited, you know, because, you know, you're a man of God. You're a man of God. And, man, when you get together, the Bible says, man, if we agree on anything, man, it can happen, or
yes,
it will happen.
Amen.
Wow. Boy, that's awesome to know. What a power that we have. And I just thank God for those who come together. That's the reason why, you know, we should still continue praying for our nation. Even though we are a remnant of prayer warriors that are in the United States, it doesn't matter, man. Two or more, you heard
yes.
it, brother, right?
Yes.
That's what you
that's
said.
Right.
That's what the Bible
gathered.
Says, right?
So if there's only two or three left in America gathering together
there you
in
go.
His name, yeah. we can move a nation.
Oh, man. So we know we got more than two or three in this United States of America. And so therefore, you know, that's what I believe, that, you know, our nation and country, it's still moving forward, okay? I'm not going to say we're moving backward. I'm saying we're moving forward with the Word of God. I know things are happening out there. We know the times are close. We know it's going to happen, you know, because of the prophecies and so on. We know that already. But I believe that God is using a remnant of his people to carry out his word and to touch people, save souls,
Amen.
Man. You know, brother, I always say, you know, I look back at statistics again at recently, well, we got, what, 7 billion people on the face of the earth, something like that. There's a lot of people out there. A lot of people don't even know Jesus, you know.
Right.
Man, I'd heard about the name, and that's about it. But they need to be saved, man.
Yes.
Woo,
Amen.
Glory to God.
And Amen.
And you and I are here to be able to save souls and to believe that God is going to come through for people out there who need help, who need hope. And that's what our nation needs. It needs hope, and it's got to be in Jesus. No
Amen.
Other way.
Well, you know one thing for sure. No matter whether you believe in a second coming or a rapture of the church, one thing for sure, we are moving closer and closer to the end of our lives.
Amen. That's exactly right.
And we
right.
have got to stand before God and give an account.
Amen.
And this is what this is for. We are here to encourage you. Continue in the faith. Continue in your word. Continue in prayer. And that moving forward, you'll be ready
moving
to meet
forward.
Jesus.
And that's exactly right. I tell people a lot of times, you know, and we look, we consider our age, you know, yeah. despite, you know, I'm 60, almost 60 years of age, you know, and my time is a little closer. And, you know, my brother always said, he said, when you get around that age, you might as well start packing your bags, you know.
Amen. Amen.
Get your bag ready, yeah. Smiley.
You know, you go to bed tonight, and you don't know if that's going to be tonight.
That's right. You know, pack your bags, because, man, and what he means by that, it's sort of like Hezekiah, you know, when Isaiah went over there and said, I believe it was Isaiah, I believe, yeah. He went over there and said, hey, get ready, man. You get your house in order.
Get your house in order.
You know, you were out there. You better get your house in order. Now, age doesn't really matter, but, you know, it does. We got to consider that at times because, you know, we're getting closer, and we know we're not going to live more than about 120 years of age. That would be the most we would ever live right now.
Amen.
So, anyways, it's not that much time, and we must be, and I like what you said, brother. We need to be ready, regardless of whether the rapture is coming now or when. Your time, maybe my time, you know, might be right before the rapture.
Amen.
And so we need to be ready. Be ready, folks, because judgment is coming. You might as well get that in your head. God is going to judge it. It's appointed for man to die once, and then what? The judge.
The judge.
The judgment.
That's right.
So you better be ready and pack your bags.
That's right. Moses told the children of Israel.
I think you got that briefcase bag. You can't take it with you, all right? We pick at it with the briefcase, you know. He don't want to show us his briefcase.
Like Moses told the children of Israel, put your shoes on your feet, your rod in your hand, and you're ready to go.
Get ready to go. Hallelujah. I'm excited about it.
Eat it. Eat the Passover in haste.
Amen. Eat it in haste. That's right. Eat the Passover in haste. He's right. I remember that word, you know, and that's one of the things that stuck out to me when I read about it. Hurry up and eat it. Why? You know, I was like, why we got to hurry this up, you know? Well, like you said, you know, the time has come. There's only 24 hours in a day, the Bible says. And Jesus said, he says, and work when you can, because after a while, nighttime will come, and you won't be able to work anymore.
And the laborers are so few these days.
So few.
So few. So few laborers left that are willing to labor, that are willing to toil and tarry all night long with that thing, trying to deliver souls out of hell.
Amen. And that's what's happening. Pranell, you know, we see that, you know, a lot of souls are going to hell at this very moment.
Amen.
Every second it takes place, people die. Millions of people are dying every day, all the time. And some of them, or maybe most of them, I'm not going to judge that. Not my right to judge, but some of them are going to hell. What do you say about that?
Well, you know, I say that there was a statistic that said that about 3 people die every second.
There you go.
So that means by the time we started this very broadcast, I don't know how many people died.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many of them went to hell? How many of them went to heaven?
Right.
I don't know that.
Exactly.
But I do know that they all went to eternity.
Right.
You know?
You live forever.
You live forever.
What place, though?
So that's something to keep in mind. You know?
Exactly.
You got to live every day knowing that eventually, one day, it's going to be your last on this earth,
mm-hmm.
as it is right now.
And people need to say that. You know, you and I, you know, we've got to quit scratching ears, and making people feel comfortable. And I'm not saying that we're doing that. But there are a lot of ministers out there, you know, all the churches out there, you know, just tickling ears, you know, scratching, making them feel comfortable. No, you know, just scare them to death if I have to, all right?
Preach you know, that message, sinners in the hands of an angry God, where people sat on the edge of their seats.
Exactly.
As he preached hellfire.
Amen.
We don't preach hellfire anymore.
We don't.
You got to bring the whole truth.
The whole truth.
Not part of it.
Amen. Nothing but the truth. And the truth is, as we say, you're going to die. I'm going to die. Be ready. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That God has given you an opportunity to hear.
Amen.
The gospel today and a chance today. To be saved today and have a relationship today. With God and go to heaven. Man, awesome package, right?
Amen.
Good retirement plan. All right.
It is.
Man, awesome. What do you think about that, Spala? Good retirement plan, man. Everything's paid for.
Paid mortgage.
Paid mortgage. We got a mansion.
No property taxes.
And no taxes, man.
Hallelujah.
We don't have to worry about that. No elections.
No elections.
They've already been appointed, you know, the 12 tribes of Israel, you know, they've already been appointed. And so we don't have to worry about that. And they shall rule. Jesus shall rule, no doubt. But again, you need to be ready and you need to have your mind open about this. This is true. This is real. It's going to happen to you. You see, my mom, when I was a young boy, you know, she scared me half to death about all this, you know. And that was a good thing because I
Amen.
Feared God.
I said,
man, I don't want to go to hell. You know, when I was little, she said, hey, you better say your prayers or you're going to the devil. So, oh, wait a minute now. You know, I'm scared to death. You know, as a young man, a young boy, you get scared of things like that. I mean, that's some of the things that we need to be able to let them know. Hey, wait a minute. There is a hell.
Right.
You ought to be scared of going to hell because there's eternal life. I mean,
you
eternal.
You know, I almost have a same story. My grandfather was an ordained Baptist minister. When he died, he had been an ordained minister for 40 years. And I still remember standing on the back porch of his apartment and him telling me that probably by the time I was a sophomore in high school, now it's been a few years, that Jesus was going to come back. Now, I understand that, you know, the timeline may have been a little off, but that always stuck with me.
Right, exactly.
That was always in the back of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus could appear at any moment.
Amen.
We don't preach that way anymore.
No,
you know, you were talking about every 3 seconds someone dies. I preached a message one time, every 7 seconds, and I read that statistic, every 7 seconds someone goes into hell.
Right, exactly.
And
that
so by the time we're through with this show alone,
mm-hmm.
what you got? A good 10 dozen people have stepped off into hell.
Right.
And what are we doing about that?
Yeah. It's scary. It's scary, especially when it leads to you. Go ahead. I know you want to say something.
Well, I know that, I mean, when you consider the fact that when they get to hell, they're not there for 120 years. They're not there for 1,000 years. I mean, if they could get out after 5,000 years, they'd be happy. But, you know, they will be there forever.
Right. As the story was given to about Jesus, as you remember, Lazarus being the poor man and the rich man going to hell, you know, and I mean, what he described it, it's so awful.
Lifted up his eyes,
man.
Being in that
and my mom used to tell me that story when I was little, you know, and how you know he was begging for Lazarus to dip his finger in a little bit of water to put it on his tongue. Oh man, that's scary. You know, I was scared after death. I mean, my mom was like that, you know. Yeah, she wasn't a fire and brimstone preacher or anything, but she would tell the truth, you
Amen.
Know.
You know, that's what we need today. We got so many things pulling people away from God. You know, some save with love and others save with the fear. You know, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Exactly.
What is wisdom? That's the power to do what you know is right.
Amen.
There's power in the fear of the Lord. We need the fear of the Lord.
We need fear of God. Yeah, we need to respect and know what will happen to us. And, you know, God doesn't make us go to hell. You know, we choose that. We've given a choice.
We choose what we're going to serve.
Yep, exactly. And so, you know, if you go to hell, you can't blame no one but what? Yourself. So, folks, you are out there. I want you to call the number, and, you know, we'll pray with you. whatever question you might have for today, we're talking about, you know, we're kind of going off into hell things.
Yeah,
you know, the Holy Ghost will choose whatever
what hell
you,
do
want.
You want.
Yeah, you know. Well, I don't want to inherit that.
I had a brother, I had an evangelist come to the church, and man,
just
sir.
Just mention my name. Don't bother me.
We got Brother Tono. I'm sorry.
No.
Brother Tono.
He's talking about me. Now tell like it is.
And he comes over. And
then
he's,
Tony came over.
And Brother Evangelist Tony Fashina comes over, gets up, and he starts preaching, "What in hell do you want?" And I like to fell out of the chair.
There you go. I think that's a great title for, you know, a sermon. No doubt about it. Yeah, what in hell do you want? You know, why would you want to go to? But most people have a misconception because they believe they're going to party. They're going to go drink and, you know, they're going to smoke pot
devil, yeah.
And, you know, going to do all kind of drugs together. They'll be dancing and singing. What do you think?
I know that it's nothing like that. You know, we talk about inheritance. Those people are inheriting torment day and night.
Day and night.
Day and night.
Misery.
They rest not, neither day nor night.
Ooh,
amen.
Scary.
Amen.
That is scary, folks. Folks, you are out there. I want you to call the number 1-877-464-2500. We want to pray with you or whatever situation you're going through. If you need to be saved, look, we'll lead you into a prayer of salvation. Whatever it may be, we'd love to hear from you. Call the number, or you might want to say something about, come in about what we're talking about right now as the Holy Ghost leads us, because there's some people out there who need this sermon. They
Amen.
need what we're talking
Amen.
About. We're talking about hell. We're talking about dying. We're talking about suffering in hell. But you know, there is a heaven, and that's a good thing that we did talk about heaven. You know, and the mansion and having that retirement plan forever. And you know, what an awesome thing. But at the same time, do you know where you're going? Is the big question that you need to ask yourself. Are you sure you know where you're going? And that's something you got to ask yourself, because if you're not sure you're going to heaven, you're going to hell. I'll put it to you that way. All right. I'm going to say that again. If you are not sure that you're going to heaven, you're going to end up in hell, because you do know, because when you become born again, you know, you got a relationship.
Right.
You know, heaven is your home. You know, God is your father. You know that you'll have that mansion. You'll have that relationship,
yeah.
And you'll have the love of God.
Right.
We know that.
Right.
So therefore, you got to know it. If you don't, you're in serious trouble.
Amen.
This is serious, folks. Serious. We were very serious. A lot of people out there, they're dying like flies. We heard that. And this is happening right now. You need to be afraid of what's going to happen to you in your future.
Amen.
All right. Oh, well, brother, how come you don't talk about the blessings? Yeah, I'll talk about the blessings. All right. But I want you to know there are things that will curse you if you don't know Jesus.
Amen.
You're cursed already, the Bible says, if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. Amen. So we got to be careful with it. We want to help you. We want to guide you. Right, Brother Tona?
Yes, sir.
What do you got to tell them about hell? What do you got to tell them about heaven? I know we do inherit heaven. There's no doubt about it. We were going to talk about heritage. But right now, God, the Holy Ghost, is just leading us in this area. What do you got to say about heaven and hell?
Like I was telling Pastor Dube yesterday, they got all kind of preachers. Some preach prosperity, some preach healing, some preach deliverance. Now, when you pastor a church, they call you a shepherd.
Uh-huh.
Now, they got all kind of shepherds. Some are hirelings, you know. When they see the wolf, they run away. They want to tell people what the people, they won't tell the flock that the wolf is coming. So be careful. Now, you from Marksville, you pastor a church.
Right.
So I will call you an American pastor.
Mm-hmm.
If I pastor a church in Africa, I'm an African shepherd. If Pastor Dube pastor a church in Lafayette, he's a Lafayette pastor. And I told Pastor Dube, if you pastor a church in Germany, you're a German shepherd. But,
that way you're going with it. I tried to figure out where you were going with this German shepherd thing, okay?
But I tell you something. I'm not calling you a dog. You're Pastor Jabba.
Right. We got you.
The greatest sermon that we want to hear today is that every tree, Jesus preached the greatest sermon. He said, every tree that does not bear any fruit shall be cut down and cast into the lake of fire.
Ooh, Lord.
So when hell opened its mouth, the greatest people that God will put there are the so-called preachers. If they don't preach the word, if they don't dot every T and cross every I, they'll be the first one that we put in that hellfire. So we have to be careful to let them know that we must produce fruit. God did not made us not to produce nothing. He wants us to produce fruit. But if we don't produce fruit, we're in trouble. Long time ago, somebody had a dream. Three people were in the elevator. They were on their way to hell in an elevator. It was a dream. And the first man said he committed adultery. That's why he's going to hell. Second man said he robbed a bank. That's why he's going to hell. The third man said, I didn't do nothing. Then why are you going to hell? He said, God gave me the great commission to reach out to the lost. I know I win one soul to Christ. I never talk about Jesus to nobody. So if we don't do nothing, we're doing something. We're lazy.
Right.
Amen.
So we better be about our
okay. Get to laboring is what we're saying for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you become born again, you want to brag about Jesus, man. I mean, I want to brag about what he did
nothing
for me.
Like
you
new
know?
Converts,
man. He did something great for me. I mean, he changed my whole life around. And I know my future, and I know my heritage, and
amen.
You know, and what we're gonna have, and what an awesome thing to call me, and not just me, but so many others like you, brother, and some of my family who've been called. You know, by Jesus. And when we die, we're going to be there with him. You know, absent in the bodies, to be present with the Lord automatically, bam, boop, you know. We won't go into the body thing, okay? But, in the spiritual realm, we're going to be there with Jesus, okay? That's where we're going to be. But you were out there. We want you to have that opportunity. Or, you know, if you have a comment about hell, do you believe there's real hell? You know, what do you have to say about hell? You know, we're talking about hell because it is an awful place to even think about going. We joke about it every day, and many people joke about it, but hell is really no joke. And we have to understand that. So we want to make it clear to you. I want you to call the number if you have a comment about it. We would love to hear from you, 1-877-464-2500. Or if you want prayer, we'll pray with you. Whatever your situation you're going through, we just love to pray with you. So call the number, 1-877-464-2500 or 484-2500. We love to pray with you or whatever comment you have. We want to hear from you. Call the number.
Reverend Kamuch, while you are praying, remember Bishop, your friend, Bishop Sotares, in your prayer.
Uh-huh.
You know, I went to Cabrini about a week ago.
Okay.
And I saw somebody standing outside.
Okay.
He looked like Shotares. But it was in the dark. You know Shotares.
Yeah, I know.
So I said, are you Shotares? He said, yes, I am Sergeant. I'm Sergeant Shotares. I'm the chief of police for Alexandria. I said, are you sure? He said, you Tony Fascina. I said, yeah, you Shotares.
Right.
Then I found out he was sick. Talk about he was the chief of police.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, he's been in Cabrini for a few months.
Oh, okay. We're going to
I don't know the condition of the sickness, but he's been in Cabrini for a few months. And when I leave him, I go check on him and pray for him.
Okay, well, amen. We're going to pray for him right now. I know Brother
Charteres.
He's been on my show before.
You met him before.
Yeah. Well, Father, we just come before you right now, Lord. We just lift up Reverend Charteres. And we believe God healing whatever situation he's gone. By the blood of Jesus, Lord, we pray that he's healed from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Devil, take your hands off of him right now. He belongs to Jesus and therefore has inherited the blessings of good health. Lord, we believe, God, that even right now, that God, that you will bring healing to his navel, Father God. Health to the navel, marrow to the bones is what you said, God, he can have, and good health upon him. We believe that right now. Healing totally upon Reverend Charteres in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Brother.
Brother Kamuch, I got two things I want to. You know, I grew up down the street from an elderly lady, and she used to tell me when I got in church, first got in church, she used to tell me that she didn't believe unless you won soul, at least one soul, she didn't think you were going to heaven. Wow. Now, I know that's rough. I know that's rough, but you talk about that tree don't bear no fruit. It gets cut
he's
down.
Telling, let me tell you something.
Uh-huh.
They got people like TDJs, and I'm not trying to say to run them down. I appreciate what he's doing in Texas. He's building a new Potter's house now. I think you told me. I'm not sure. Somebody told me.
Yeah.
Now, we have Rod Pastor and all those people. But just because they got a large crowd doesn't mean they will get more reward in heaven. You can do your best to win one soul to Christ.
Right.
And you can get more reward than they will get.
Right. That's exactly
because,
right.
Because, see, if you pastor a small church and one of your church members is sick, you are small enough to go visit them. They can always reach and say, Reverend Camus, come pray for me.
Exactly.
But when you are pastor John with 10,000 members, he don't go to visit 10,000 people in 1 year. He can visit them in a whole year. You see me now? You might get more reward. That's what the Bible say. Whatever you do, whatever you lay your hand to do, do it with your might. Look at Brother Noah. He preached for 120 years. That's a long time.
Right.
If I preach for a whole month, run a revival for a whole month, and nobody got saved, I'm going to find me under sea to go preach.
Right.
But he preached for 120 years, and they laughed at him. They said he's a whole foggy. He lost his mind. But he won something. He didn't want nobody in that town, but he won himself.
Right.
Paul said, when I preach the whole gospel, I pray I don't be a castaway. He won himself, he won his wife, and he won his children.
Amen.
And his in-laws to Christ, and made it. He made it out of the ark safely.
Exactly, yeah.
If we can do that, we need to do our best. Use our whatever talent God gave us,
whatever.
We don't want to be like somebody else. Some people are called to as an evangelist, they want to be an apostle. Walk according to your calling.
Amen. Amen.
You know, there's a lot of people out there, you know, I guess like Paul, we look at Paul but as a great example of a laborer. I call him one of the greatest laborers of Jesus Christ. And all that he went through, you know, it didn't matter. It didn't move him at all. You know, he got beaten several times, almost 200 stripes upon his back, three times beaten with rods and shipwrecks and in cold and hunger and perils of the sea, perils of land, and, you know, even in prison. Man, he went through all, but man, he just kept bragging about Jesus. You know, he kept telling everybody about Jesus. I don't care, man. He said, man, you break my heart, man, thinking that I won't go out there. He said, I'm ready to die for Jesus.
Amen.
You know, the disciples were trying to stop him. No, man, I'm ready to die for him. What are you thinking about? You know, all the disciples of God were ready to die for him. That's how much they loved him and bragged about him and what Jesus had done for them and how they turned their whole world around. And something for the first time, you know, became real.
Amen.
It was real. You know, like you and I, you know, Jesus was the first thing that really was real in my life that I began to say, okay, this is really something real in the spiritual realm. You know, I'm able to, you know, accept him, feel him, even though I can't see him. But, man, I sure can experience him. What an awesome thing.
You know, part of being saved, one of the great things, I mean, it's obviously great, what you're going to, where you're going to heaven. But you also rejoice because of what you've been delivered from.
Amen.
Some people only know what they're going to. And when you go to an outsider or somebody who doesn't know anything and you say, hey, you want to be saved, saved from what?
Right.
What does saved mean exactly? Because it seems like it's a lot funner to go out to the club to a lot of people and have fun and do all those things and drinking and fornicating and adultery.
Exactly.
You know, what are we being saved from? Having fun?
Right.
You know?
Amen.
Exactly. You know, and we have to continue to let them know about hell and, you know, what you will be saved from and Bible, fire, everlasting fire, you know.
Bible says save yourself
from
this world generation. He didn't save the whole world. Save yourself. And he talked about fun. That's what Moses did. He said by faith, Moses chose to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for what? For a season. You know what
right.
I mean now?
Exactly.
He chose to suffer with the people of God. There's a great preacher called A.A. Allen. That man is a holiness preacher. He went thousands of souls for Christ. But guess what? Until he died, he had drinking problems. And he almost took the whole America. A.A. Allen. He had drinking problems.
Right,
he never got rid of that problem until he died.
Wow.
You've heard of A.A. Allen, Pastor Duve?
No.
A.A. Allen,
yeah.
Brother Valiano, he set up tent meetings all over.
Right.
Took him on the internet. You never heard of him.
I've never heard of him.
Eh?
I've never heard of him.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
You've heard of him.
He's a great evangelist.
But he lay under the cigarette.
A. Allen.
He won the whole soul, the whole world, but he can't win himself.
Wow. And again, we're looking about having a relationship with God, something that's real. And again, look at yourself and treat every day like it's the last day, folks. Because we don't know. You know, I got friends that are dropping like flies, man. It's like, they just drop dead. Bam. You know, I'm like, well, what happened? You know?
Amen.
Oh, well, the massive heart attack or aneurysm. And it's over.
Yeah.
It's all over, folks.
We're
it is no
tomorrow.
Coming back.
We're not promised tomorrow.
Right. You know, most people think, oh, well, you know, I might have this near-death experience and come right back. No. Your chances are not coming back. And that's what Jesus said, okay? He said, no, no. And when Lazarus, when the rich man said to Lazarus, tell him to, you know, just send somebody to tell him about this awful place. He said, man, look, you're not going, first of all. You can't leave, all right? You got to stay in hell right where you at. Nobody can go. They can't hear and understand the prophets. Well, then tough luck, okay?
Amen.
It's awful,
I
you know what I mean? It's not something we want.
Pastor Dube used to be a Muslim. The way he was talking about, we're not promised tomorrow. They got some groups of Muslims in Africa, mm-hmm. in Nigeria. When they get a paycheck today, they blow everything. They might buy some. They will spend the last dime because they said tomorrow they might not have nothing. They might not make it tomorrow. So they spend the whole money.
Spend it all. It made me think of, like, you know, the Egyptians and the pyramids, you know, and how the kings
took everything.
Yeah,
with them.
They thought they were going to take it all. Yeah. No, man. You know who got it? We did. You know, the people who were alive got all your treasures, man. You're not taking it with you. You just as soon forget it. You can hoard it all you want. You're not taking it with you, okay,
folks? Well, like that rich guy down in New Orleans. They buried him in his high dollar car.
He should have given it to me.
They just buried him in the car.
It's called it legally. Because if it's trash, it's my treasure.
Yeah, but you'd have still wound up wrecking it.
Oh, yeah, you would have, man. You would have wrecked it, all right. Yeah, you wouldn't have made it, man. It's too high class, you know. Well, you like me, man. You can't drive them high class cars. folks, you out there, call the number, 1-877-464-2500, and we would love to pray with you, talk to you, whatever comment you have. We're talking about heaven. We're talking about hell. We're talking about your life is not going to be here very long. It's like a tiny vapor, the Bible says, a little drop of water, and it appears for a little while, and it's all gone. It's over with. You know that, folks. So you are out there. Call the number, 1-877-464-2500. Or if you're local, call 484-2500. We would love to pray with you, despite of what's going on in your life. We know God can change things around for you. He loves you that much. He'll do anything for you. He'll even send his son to die for us.
Amen.
Which he already done that already. So that's an awesome thing about it, that God loved me so much. And he loves you. He loves you just like he loves me. You know, you don't love one child more than the other, do you, brother?
No.
No? And neither do I. You don't, Pernell. Whatever, Tona, you would, if you would have children, yeah. Well, you know, it's never too late, Tona, okay? After a while, you'll get married.
Abraham was 99.
Yeah, Abraham was 99. Yeah, and he got his first child at 100, all right? Man, so it's never too late. So you kind of know about the children thing, all right? So anyway, well, the Bible talks about it. It's a heritage of, you know, children are a heritage for us all. But again, we look at it once again. God loves you, folks. Call the number, 1-877-464-2500. We guarantee it through the Word of God. That's Amen. How we guarantee it. We guarantee that your prayer will be answered because God said so, okay? Amen. All right? He's the one that backs it up, the guarantee, the warranty, all right? Whatever you want to call it. He backs it up, not us, okay? You know, we sort of like the retailer, all right?
That's right. We're just the messenger.
We're just the
you
messenger.
You can't beat up the postman.
That's right. Don't beat up the postman. Yeah, we're just delivering
we're
it
just
to
delivering
you.
We're just delivering it.
So you guaranteed it's going to work because he said, where two agree, don't touch in anything, and what Amen. Shall be done.
That's right.
Man, what an awesome thing. So call the number, 1-877-464-2500. We'll be back in a minute. Bye-bye. We're back.
Hallelujah. Look, I'm going to read a portion of scripture that Brother Carmouche gave me real quick. It's Isaiah 54:17, and it says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Amen. Isn't it great to know that it is our heritage to be the Lord, we belong to Jesus. What a great heritage that is. And also to know that no weapon, can the sinner say that no weapon that is formed against him shall prosper? Every weapon that rises against him is going to prosper.
I tell you like this. Whether you are a sinner or a saint, when the Bible says no weapon formed shall prosper. Weapons will be formed. That tornado that ripped everybody, that's a weapon right there.
Good.
Weapons will be formed, but it just won't prosper.
That's right. That's right.
You know, last night during that storm, I was in a parking lot outside of a church, here, and I saw that wind, and it was strong. And I saw how strong that wind was. And you know what thought came to me? I said, wow, God is more powerful than that. How much stronger is he to deliver those who call upon him for deliverance? I saw that wind, and I said, wow, God, it just made me realize how powerful God is. You know, because at the sound of his voice, anything that's coming against you right now can be removed immediately. Now, does he do that all the time?
No.
In fact, I have a son, and sometimes he wants me to help him put on his shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I don't, because I want him to learn.
He?
He's three. Mm-hmm. He's 3 years old.
That's what.
Right.
I let him go through it, and sometimes
he
gets so frustrated or too frustrated, then I help him.
Right.
But I help him overcome that hurdle by allowing him to do what he can. Sometimes God allows us to endure certain things.
Even sometimes if the shoe's on the opposite feet, at least he gave it a shot.
At least he gave it a shot. God,
you know, we need to stop. I heard a message by a preacher the other day. And we have this concept of God that we have to be so perfect before him. We have to be so exact. We have so perfect.
That's
we
can't, the Bible.
We know perfect. But we get we don't have. I mean, when as soon as we fall, then it makes us fall completely away from God.
Right.
As soon as we think I've done a little
that's
something
it,
today, I'm done.
And that's the condemnation
yep.
of the devil. Okay, the devil will condemn you. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. That we have to understand. That we're not condemned through Christ Jesus. We might be convicted, which is the Holy Spirit, and he teaches us, and he's very soft-spoken. The Holy Ghost will let you know what you're doing wrong. He's not going to pound you into the ground. He'll let you say, he'll tell you, okay, you need to repent, as our brother was talking about. Yes, condemnation, this is one of the strategies of the devil. He likes to tell you, and condemn you. You're no good. You know, God is not going to forgive you. You're just a bad person. You'll never be perfect. No, we'll never will be perfect, not in this world. We already know. So if you know your Bible, you know, you go with the word and tell the devil, hey, devil, I rebuke you. You're a lying devil. You know, don't believe what he says, but you got to know what the word is saying, that we're not condemned.
Right.
We may be convicted to let us know what we're doing wrong.
Amen.
And we can repent, and we will be forgiven by Jesus, and he will forget them, and we can still go on. It's sort of like your children, my children. If they do wrong, does that mean we don't love them anymore? No. Right? We still love them. We will correct them and show them, and we know they're going to make some more mistakes in life, like you're talking about, dying
the
shoes, you know.
Sometimes the same one over and over.
Right, the same thing over and over. And God operates the same way, folks.
We are his children.
We are his children. He loves us so much, and he's there trying to, as we heard our brother Purnell, trying to teach his little boy how to tie his shoes, you know. That may be small to you, but it's big to him, okay? It's a big thing, and it can be frustrating, and he can get mad, and he can maybe really just throw things out at somebody, you know. That happens. We all human. And God knows the same thing, but we can say, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me. Forgive me. And you know what? God will do it.
Amen.
And he'll forget it. He'll say, hey, as far as these throw
it. Said just now about being perfect, that was what you said, the Bible supports it. God told Abraham, he said, walk before me and be perfect. You know God told Abraham
to
be perfect?
Oh, yeah.
He said, walk before me. In spite of Abraham's condition, Abraham married twice. He married a slave girl. And when he married a slave girl, he committed adultery with a slave girl. But God still gave him another chance. God said, walk before me.
Right.
And be what? And be perfect.
Be perfect.
So that means anybody can be perfect. And talking about children, just because you are holy, you can be a holy parent and have evil kids.
Right.
And you can
be a
holy child and have evil parents.
Right.
Like, ask Josiah.
Exactly.
Child parents are they are evil. Abraham's parents are evil. That's why God said, come out. Come out. And God is calling us today. He said, come out of Babylon, my people.
Right.
And do not partake of his sins. Mm-hmm. This world is Babylon. America is Babylon.
Amen.
Right.
But God said, come out of American system.
I want to get back. I don't want to forget. Someone did call me over here and to remind me Remind us, as we were talking about earlier, how, you know, that we're guaranteed through the word, you know, that they will receive the answer if it's in God's will. Now, remember, if it's always in, if it's in God, we need to always pray in God's will, okay? So we want to remind you about that situation, okay, when we pray. And definitely we need to pray always, as the Bible says, pray if it's God's will, okay? And that's what we got to look at. And yes, it will be answered if it's God's will. I mean, that's how I pray. I don't want it any other way, you know, because we're going to be going the wrong direction, and we're going to get off the path of God.
You know, as Christians, we have to remember, when we talk about being perfect and getting back up after falling down, we have to remember what the scripture that Brother Mike just read. Our righteousness is of him.
Amen.
We don't have our own righteousness outside of him. Because he is perfect, therefore we are perfect. We have his righteousness bestowed upon us.
Amen.
And that's why we are sealed.
We've got another question. You know, we may be having some technical difficulties with the phone, folks. So, and it may be because of the storm that came through. So we apologize. But yeah, no. We are out there on the air, but the telephones are we're having difficult. Smiley, we're not. I hope Smiley.
You want a refund?
No, they're hearing us because I have people who are texting me, and so don't worry about it, folks. We'll do our best to get the word out there some kind of way, and I'm sure it has to do with the storm. There's a terrible storm, and one of the first things I want to do is pray for those who've been through the storm here and who had a lot of destruction. So let's first pray about that before we answer any more questions through the texts. Well, let's pray right now. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for those people who survived the storm over here. And we pray, God, that you help them and restore back everything that the devil destroyed. Oh, God, remove the fears, Lord. Remove the worries, but God, restore to them back everything that the devil stole. We believe it according to your word. And God, bring back the electricity and everything that was put down or brought down, God. Bring it back, God. We speak that in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God. We have another question that was texted to me, and he was talking about, it says, if God wants us to prosper and be in good health, and if I pray with faith with two or three other faith believers, why am I sick, especially if God can't lie? Okay? He said he's hearing, I know y'all hearing this on the radio pretty clear, because that's what he's saying. So, but anyways, if you want to, you can always text. Nevertheless, right now, he's asking us, why are we still sick? We're agreeing together. But we have to understand this one thing. God has a timing for everything.
Amen.
Okay, we know, we guaranteed we are going to be healed. Now, when is another question, okay? And that's what I always say, that God has a timing. You know, Job was there. You know, he went through it for several months.
Amen.
You know, but we know this one thing. That God is going to do it. At least I believe it. I know you're coming through, God. You know, I might be filled with boils all over my body for several months, but I know you're going to heal me sooner or later. And because that's what the Bible says. If we have faith to believe it, sooner or later. And, you know, and I've been through this for maybe, 35 years. I've been preaching and praying for people, praying over people, anointing people. I've seen all this happen, you know. Some of them get healed instantly. Some people, you know, it may take a few months. It may take a couple of years, a few years. But I guarantee it, it's going to happen. I see it happen, man. It's awesome. You know, God knows his reason. Go ahead, brother.
God made a promise to Abraham that he would make him the father of many nations. I don't know how many. Oh, you know what? It was 99. Abraham was 99 years old before he became the father of one person. He wasn't the father of many nations when
he
died.
And a half.
Was he the father of many nations when he died?
One and a half.
We just, me and my wife have been reading through the Bible. I thought about that as we read through that. He told Abraham, you're going to be a father of many nations. Well, Abraham didn't get to see it. Then Isaac came along. Isaac didn't get to see it. Then Jacob came along. Jacob didn't get to see it. But Jacob had the 12 tribes of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a while for those tribes of Israel, as they were stuck in Goshen, for them to begin to multiply.
Right.
And then they became. Now, Abraham never got to see the fulfillment of the promise. Neither did Isaac, neither did Jacob.
Correct.
We have to understand that sometimes God puts us in situations, carries us through. just like the person saying, why am I still sick? If God healed you from your sickness and next week you're broke, mm-hmm. I mean, then you're going to start, well, now I'm broke.
Right.
I mean, at some point, you know, there's things.
We just go through things.
Yeah.
We're going to go through
God
a lot of things. Regardless, I wait for that. You know, I know it's going to happen. We're at battle. We're at war right now. And yes, we may be healed in one area. Then there comes another area. You know, and then we got to fight all over again. But as part of being a Christian, as part of loving God, as part of saying like Paul, I don't care. Nothing's going to move me. I don't care if you beat me several times. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you kill me. They stoned this man, and they thought he was going to die.
Well,
you can't kill me till God ready, all right?
One of the most favorite portions of Scripture, Paul says, for this I sought the Lord thrice.
Right.
And he said, my grace is sufficient.
It's sufficient.
I'm sorry, but there are just going to be areas of our lives that his grace is going to be sufficient.
It'll be sufficient, right. And it keeps us humble. It keeps us humble.
It
keeps us broken.
If God gave us everything we asked for, I want the $1.6 billion lottery from last week.
Smiley got that.
If I got the $1.6 billion from last week, I probably wouldn't be sitting here.
You're probably right.
You might not be in Louisiana.
No, you wouldn't even.
I probably wouldn't even be in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Man, you wouldn't even come to this poor little preaching.
No, right.
You know, the poor little preacher over the radio.
So which one did me better?
Yeah.
Not to win the lottery, and I'm sitting here.
Look, 1,000 years with God, it's like one day. I wonder like it. So sometimes when it looks like God is delaying to answer our prayer, that's just like one day with God. You know what I mean now?
God's in no hurry.
We think by earthly time. God think by God's time is different from man's time. And God's time is the best.
Amen. Okay, we got another question here. People have been texting me. This is Dr. Gordon White, you know, and he's a very good friend of mine, and he's been a doctor around here in this area for a good while, and I think he's a little further north. I think in Monroe, Smiley?
I think
he's in Monroe, yeah. But anyways, he's a good friend of mine, and he's asking some of the questions. And first of all, we know that, yes, God does use doctors. He does. There's no doubt about that. You know, we know Luke was a doctor,
amen.
And, you know, and he was an apostle, you know, or a disciple as well. And we see that God uses people to heal. We know that Isaiah told Hezekiah, go and make a little putty of figs, you know, a little paste, and put it on the boil, okay, which he was going to die if he didn't do that. So he uses medicines, he uses doctors. I'm 100% for him. If God wants to heal me through a doctor, bam, I'm glad. I don't care if you use a donkey, all right? if you want a donkey to heal me, I don't care what you use, God. I want you to, whatever you use, I know this one thing, God is going to come through.
Amen.
He's going to answer me.
Absolutely. And sometimes we have to realize that our priorities are not always God's priorities. Perhaps God is wanting to grow the gentleman's faith.
Amen.
More than he's wanting to heal his body, because that body is going to pass away. But he said these three things remain: faith, hope, and love.
Amen.
Now, the greatest of these is love.
Amen.
But that faith
Amen.
Is being bestowed unto him as righteousness. You should consider yourself blessed to be able to exercise that faith, because people that are in good health and never have any concerns or any worries or anything like that, they don't have any reason to
seek
God for anything.
Why would you want to go see God? That's why the Bible talks about a rich man having a hard time entering into heaven, and it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? As you just said, you explained it exactly why. Why should I need God?
I heard Paul Harvey explain that one time.
Oh, go ahead.
The eye of the needle is a real low entrance into that city.
Yeah.
And those camels have to get on their knees.
Right.
And
a little crack in on the wall. Right, a little hole
underneath that to be able to get into what they call the eye of the needle.
But you know, when Jesus said that, you know what God showed me? God said it's very hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
But the end result is that with God, all things are possible.
Mm-hmm.
A rich man can beat any of us to the kingdom
of
heaven.
That's what he said.
With God. Not by himself now. With God.
With God. With God. Well, we have another question. I don't want to miss it, but what are some of the things that would stop our prayers from being answered? We got some things. I know I got a couple of things. What do y'all got?
I would think selfish motives.
Selfish motives. Yeah, selfishness,
me,
of
me,
course.
Me,
yeah, that's
yeah,
why.
Yeah, I'm on my knees, and it's just me.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, Go ahead, bro. I think that if you're praying in Jesus' name, according to God's will, then there is nothing that can stop your prayer from being answered. Because if God is on your side, who can be against you?
Amen.
That's correct. But what are some of the things? One of the things is, if you do not ask for if you do not forgive someone, you're not going to heaven, folks.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now. That's what the Bible says. You have to forgive to be forgiven. And that's what the Bible says. Not only that, he also said that you can't enter the kingdom of heaven if you don't humble yourself as a small child.
Right.
Man, so we know we need humbleness to get our prayers answered. And we need to learn how to forgive, you know, one another.
Need to learn how to love.
How to love. So those are the things. You can't have hate and say you hate your brother and love God. How can you do that? That's what the Bible says. So we got to look at these things that will stop our prayers from being answered.
Go ahead. Go ahead, brother.
Now, if I'm a pastor and you are my assistant, and because you married twice, I stop you from preaching on my pulpit. Did I show you love? Maybe when you are preaching in my church, you are winning souls for Christ.
Uh-huh.
You are packing my church, winning souls. But because you married twice, then I stop you from being my pastor, from preaching for me. Am I showing you love or hatred? I'm asking you, Pastor Camus.
You're asking me if you show me love. Now say that again.
By
you might have to repeat.
Just because you married twice. See, you married twice because you have a problem with your first marriage. And you ask God to forgive you. But I said, because you married twice, you won't preach my pulpit no more. Now, am I showing you love or hatred?
Well, are you talking about the pastor allowing
you? I'm your pastor. I'm not the German shepherd. I'm just your pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And you are my assistant. But when you preach, maybe you got more fire than me. Maybe you're winning souls in my church.
Well,
because
brother,
of you, my church was packed. But just because you made that mistake,
right.
I held it against you. I won't let you preach my church anymore unless you go back to your first wife, unless he dies.
Well, yeah, as far as expressing love, no, not really. I mean, again, you got to learn forgiveness. Forgiveness is part of love.
Right.
I mean,
if I don't let you preach no more, am I showing you love? Or
no, not. I mean, not according to that. I mean, not that motive. I don't know what reason his heart would be. I don't know. But other than that, all I know is that you will forgive people. I don't know what other things are attached to that as far as preaching and. They might have rules. I don't know, you know, but.
Okay, but is that rule forgiven?
You have to keep in mind that the standard by which you judge others is the same standard that you'll be judged
Thank
by.
You. Right. Maybe I've done the same thing, but I hide it under the closet, you know?
Depending on what your motive is, you know, are you trying to show this person chastisement or, you know, or really wisdom and so on and to learn more or, you know, maybe put them down
because
for a while?
I have other ministers under me that have made the same mistake, but I let them preach.
Right.
But I won't let you preach. But the other means I've married like 3-4 times, and they preach.
Mm-hmm.
They preach for me, but I don't want you to preach for me no more. Is that not kind of hatred like?
I don't know about the hatred, but I know it's not love.
It's also a matter of
fun. We've got hearts are read by God, and that's why it's a fine line when you start judging people. We know we judge the fruits, okay? The Bible does. So we got to be very careful, you know, when we come to judging people because we do not know the motives and deep-seated heart, okay, of people. And that's why I'm very careful about things like that, why people do things because I don't know their hearts. And we can't read, the old saying, you can't judge a book by its cover, you know? And we can't. We don't know what's in the hearts of people.
Right.
You know, and that's where God, and a good chance, thank God, a good chance he can go in there and judge you, you know. So we got to be very careful of that. We had another question, and that was about the prayer cloths. And
I believe in them.
Huh?
I believe in them.
I believe in them, too. We give them out ourselves. We know that Paul.
Step on your shadow and get you. People can still step on your shadow and get you.
Right,
you
right.
Have enough anointing.
I believe if you had enough anointing. Yes.
If you got the anointing, we know prayer was, Paul was led by God to do so, and it healed people. And the same thing with the shadow of Peter, you know, he had the anointing for it, man. And that's awesome anointing. And so we know that it'd be transferred to someone, you know, whether it's through a handkerchief or just a shadow of it, you know, the very being. We know the bones of Elijah, I think it was Elijah, you know, who was dead, was still anointed, man. Right. It had a lot of power, the very bones.
And it's not just the person whose shadow you're stepping into. It's also the person who's stepping into that shadow. They're reaching out in faith. That was a woman who reached out to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And you know what Jesus said? Yeah. Your faith.
Made you whole.
You whole.
No doubt about it.
He didn't say my garment has made you whole.
Right.
Or my shadow.
It had nothing to do with his garment.
Not even. I heard that too. Not even his faith. It was her faith.
Her faith.
Right.
It was her faith. The touching.
And we see that, you know, look, and we don't look at the prayer clause. We don't look at the card. We see the faith that's behind us. You hear our brothers talking about, and that's very important. And, you know, we send our prayer clause. We pray over the prayer clause. And it's being transferred through your faith in believing that God will heal you. And that's what we're looking at. You read it in the Bible. It's there. And Paul did it, and Peter, and we can go on. And we've just talked about it. So it's very important. Yes, prayer cloths are not the healing, okay? It is the word of God that heals you, okay?
Because we could send out bed sheets dipped in oil,
right, exactly.
And that may not do you no good.
You know, all we send is a little piece of cloth, you know, and we'll send it to you free. You know, we're not going to charge you nothing for this, man. It's like, oh, no, man, take it. And we definitely explain it to everybody. Don't go and think that this cloth is a healing thing, okay? It's not. And don't be like a... how they were looking at the snake, the brass snake that was lifted up in the desert by Moses. Everybody, they had to finally get rid of it because everybody thought that was what was healing everybody. It wasn't that. It was God, okay?
Amen.
So, and you and I, we're the same one. That's why we so got to be so careful when, I know we're almost out of time. We got to be so careful when preachers are laying hands on people who have been called to lay hands and, you know, and a lot of people think, oh, yeah, that man, you know, he's like a god. No, he's not.
No, he's not.
He's not. God is using that guy.
Sometimes
he's using that woman.
Sometimes people need to be slow with who they let lay hands on.
That's what the Bible said. Be careful. You know, yes, God uses people. God has ordained people to do this. He said it in his word, Mark 16 and 17 and 18. He talks about these signs shall follow. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. Now, he's not talking about just any particular person, but those who believe and cast out devils, bring the dead back to life, and so on. But be careful when you watch these ministers. I know they're great men of God and great women of God who are being used by God, but don't keep your eyes on these people. I don't want you to, even me, don't even think about that, all right? Don't even think that man or woman can heal you, okay?
Before I go
only
and say, Reverend Kamuch, I want to lay my fist on the sick when they make me mad. God delivered me.
All right. Well, it looks like it's over with. But we want to lead you into the sinner's prayer, what we call the sinner's prayer. And it means that, again, saved by going to hell. We talked about earlier. If you die and you haven't accepted Jesus as a savior to save you from going to hell, you have to have him. There's no other name whereby you can be saved but by the name of Jesus. So that's already been established. So we got to call upon him, ask him to come into our hearts, okay, our spirit. Come inside of me, Jesus. Forgive me for my sins. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. This is something we need to accept and believe. You're the Son of God. I believe you are, and you're going to save me from going to hell. And not only that, you'll have a relationship with God, man. With God. You'll be able to hear God, feel God, and know God is there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Without a doubt. And nobody can change your mind. That's a great thing about
Amen.
That. They can tell you all you want. I don't know, man. I know God talks to me. My sheep know my voice. That's what he said. So if you want this opportunity, we were going to lead you into a prayer. And please say it sincerely, and God will come right inside. By saying, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Forgive me for all that I've done wrong. Wash me in your blood, Jesus. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. For right now, I commit my whole life unto you. And I believe that you're my Savior, you're my God, you're my Lord, and you're my friend. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. If you said that prayer, and believe me, I said it, and man, I've never been the same all these many years, and I'm no more special than you, folks. You can do the same thing right now. Hallelujah. thank you so much for listening out there. I hope that if you said that prayer, you're born again, get into a Bible-believing church, get into your word every day, the Bible, that is, gospel of Jesus, and you see yourself transformed into a child of God every day. What an awesome thing. I want to thank all my co-hosts here, man. I appreciate Tona Fashina. Thank you so much, man. All the way from Africa. Man, I don't know. I don't want to send him back over there right now.
thank you
so much for Tona. We've been friends for many years.